Chapter 2. Preeminent necessity, that everybody should look well at his watch. It was evident, however, that just at this moment the fellow in the steeple was doing something that he had no business to do with the clock. But as it now began to strike, nobody had any time to attend to his maneuvers, for they had all to count the strokes of the bell as it sounded. 1. Set the clock. Von, echoed every little old gentleman in every leather-bottomed armchair in Von der Vadimittis. Vivon, set his watch also. Von, set the watch of his row, and on. Set the watches of the boys, and the little gilt repeaters on the tails of the cat and pig. 2. Continued the big bell, and do. Repeated all the repeaters. 3. 4. 5. 6. 7. 8. 9. 10. Set the bell. 3. Vowr. 5. 6. 7. 8. 9. 10. Answered the others. 11. Set the big one. 11. Assented the little ones. 12. Set the bell. 12. They replied perfectly satisfied, and dropping their voices. 12 it is, said all the little old gentlemen, putting up their watches. But the big bell had not done with them yet. 13, said he. Der Teufel, gasped the little old gentlemen, turning pale, dropping their pipes, and putting down all their right legs from over their left knees. Der Teufel, groaned they, 13. 13 mein Gott, it is 13 o'clock, why attempt to describe the terrible scene which ensued? All Von der Vadimittis flew at once into a lamentable state of uproar. What is coming to mein Pelle? Roared all the boys of Minangri for this hour. What is coming to mein Kraut? Screamed all the rows, it has been done to rags for this hour. What is coming to mein Pipe? Swore all the little old gentlemen, Donder and Blitzen. It has been smoked out for this hour. And they filled them up again in a great rage, and sinking back in their armchairs, puffed away so fast and so fiercely that the whole valley was immediately filled with impenetrable smoke. Meantime the cabbages all turned very red in the face, and it seemed as if old Nick himself had taken possession of everything in the shape of a timepiece. The clocks carved upon the furniture took to dancing as if bewitched, while those upon the mantelpieces could scarcely contain themselves for fury, and kept such a continual striking of 13, and such a frisking and wriggling of their pendulums as was really horrible to see. But, worse than all, neither the cats nor the pigs could put up any longer with the behavior of the little repeaters tied to their tails, and resented it by scampering all over the place, scratching, and poking, and squeaking and screeching, and caterwauling and squalling, and flying into the faces, and running under the petticoats of the people, and creating altogether the most abominable din and confusion which it is possible for a reasonable person to conceive. And to make matters still more distressing, the rascally little scapegrace in the steeple was evidently exerting himself to the utmost. Every now and then one might catch a glimpse of the scoundrel through the smoke. There he sat in the belfry upon the belfry man, who was lying flat upon his back. In his teeth the villain held the bell rope, which he kept jerking about with his head, raising such a clatter that my ears ring again, even to think of it. On his lap lay the big fiddle, at which he was scraping, out of all time and tune, with both hands, making a great show, the nincompoop, of playing Judy O'Flanagan and Paddy O'Rafferty. Affairs being thus miserably situated, I left the place in disgust, and now appeal for aid to all lovers of correct time and fine kraut. Let us proceed in a body to the borough, and restore the ancient order of things in Von der Vadimittis by ejecting that little fellow from the steeple. Tilde 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 end of text tilde 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 equals 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 lionizing, all people went upon their 10 toes in wild wonderment. Bishop Hall's satires. I am that is to say I was a great man, but I am neither the author of Junius, nor the man in the mask, For my name, I believe, is Robert Jones, and I was born somewhere in the city of Fumfudge. The first action of my life was the taking hold of my nose with both hands. My mother saw this and called me a genius. My father wept for joy and presented me with a treatise on nosology. This I mastered before I was breached. I now began to feel my way in the science, and soon came to understand that, provided a man had a nose sufficiently conspicuous, he might, by merely following it, arrive at a lionship. But my attention was not confined to theories alone. Every morning I gave my proboscis a couple of pulls, and swallowed a half dozen of drams. When I came of age, my father asked me, one day, if I would step with him into his study. "Why, son," said he, when we were seated, "what is the chief end of your existence?" "Why, father," I answered, "it is the study of nosology." "And what, Robert," he inquired, "is nosology?" I said, "it is the science of noses." "And can you tell me," he demanded, "what is the meaning of a nose?" "Nose, my father," I replied, greatly softened, "has been variously defined by about 1,000 different authors." Here I pulled out my watch. "'Tis is now noon or thereabouts. We shall have time enough to get through with them all before midnight. To commence then. The nose, according to Bartholinus, is that protuberance, that bump, that excrescence, that ill-do," Robert interrupted the good old gentleman. I am thunderstruck at the extent of your information. I am positively upon my soul." Here he closed his eyes and placed his hand upon his heart. "Omer." Here he took me by the arm. "Our education may now be considered as finished. It is high time you should scuffle for yourself, and you cannot do a better thing than merely follow your nose." So. Here he kicked me downstairs and out of the door. "Oh, get out of my house, and God bless you." As I felt within me the divine afflatus, I considered this accident rather fortunate than otherwise. I resolved to be guided by the paternal advice. I determined to follow my nose. I gave it a pull or two upon the spot, and wrote a pamphlet on nosology forthwith. All Fumfudge was in an uproar. "Wonderful genius," said the Quarterly. "Superb physiologist," said the Westminster. "Clever fellow," said the Foreign. "Fine writer," said the Edinburgh. "Profound thinker," said the Dublin. "Great man," said Bentley. "Divine soul," said Fraser. "One of us," said Blackwood. "Who can he be?" said Mrs. Bosblue. "What can he be?" said Big Miss Bosblue. "Where can he be?" said Little Miss Bosblue. But I paid these people no attention, whatever. I just stepped into the shop of an artist. The Duchess of Bless My Soul was sitting for her portrait. The Marquis of So-and-so was holding the Duchess's poodle. The Earl of this and that was flirting with her salts. And His Royal Highness of Touch Me Not was leaning upon the back of her chair. I approached the artist and turned up my nose. "Oh, beautiful," sighed Her Grace. "Oh my," lisped the Marquis. "Oh, shocking," groaned the Earl. "Oh, abominable," growled His Royal Highness. "What will you take for it?" asked the artist. "For his nose," shouted Her Grace. £1,000, said I, sitting down. £1,000? Inquired the artist, musingly. £1,000, said I, beautiful, said he, entranced. £1,000, said I, do you warrant it? He asked, turning the nose to the light. I do, said I, blowing it well. Is it quite original? He inquired, touching it with reverence. Humph, said I, twisting it to one side. Has no copy been taken? He demanded, surveying it through a microscope. None, said I, turning it up. Admirable, he ejaculated, thrown quite off his guard by the beauty of the maneuver. £1,000, said I, £1,000, said he. Precisely, said I, £1,000, said he. Just so, said I, you shall have them, said he. W, what a piece of verdu. So he drew me a check upon the spot, and took a sketch of my nose. I engaged rooms in Jermyn Street and sent Her Majesty the 99th edition of the Astrology with a portrait of the proboscis. That sad little rake, the Prince of Wales, invited me to dinner. We were all lions and researches. There was a modern Platonist. He quoted Porphyry, Iamblichus, Plotinus, Proclus, Hierocles, Maximus Tyrius, and Syrianus. There was a human perfectibility man. He quoted Turgot, Price, Priestley, Condorcet, De Stael, and the ambitious student in ill health. There was Sir Positive Paradox. He observed that all fools were philosophers, and that all philosophers were fools. There was Theticus Ethics. He spoke of fire, unity, and atoms, bipart and pre-existent soul, affinity and discord, primitive intelligence and homomeria. There was Theologos Theology. He talked of Eusebius and Arianus, heresy and the Council of Nice, Puseyism and consubstantialism, homoousias and homoousias. There was Fricassee from the Rocher de Cancale. He mentioned Muritan of Red Tongue, cauliflowers with velout sauce, veal la Saint Menehould, marinade la Saint Florentin, and orange jellies and mosaics. There was Bibulus O'Bumper. He touched upon Later and Mark Brennan, upon Mousseau and Chamberton, upon Richborg and St. George, upon Aubryan, Leonville, and Medoc, upon Berac and Priegnac, upon G.R.V., upon Sauderne, upon Laffitte, and upon St. Perry. He shook his head at close devotiate, and told, with his eyes shut, the difference between Sherry and Amontillado. There was Signorton Tontantino from Florence. He discoursed of Cimabue, Arpino, Carpaccio, and Argostino, of the gloom of Caravaggio, of the amenity of Albano, of the colors of Titian, of the froze of Rubens, and of the waggeries of Jan Steen. There was the president of the Fum Fudge University. He was of opinion that the moon was called Bendis in Thrace, Bubastis in Egypt, Dion in Rome, and Artemis in Greece. There was a Grand Turk from Stamboul. He could not help thinking that the angels were horses, cocks, and bulls, that somebody in the sixth heaven had 70,000 heads, and that the earth was supported by a sky-blue cow with an incalculable number of green horns. There was Delphinus Polyglot. He told us what had become of the 83 lost tragedies of Schylus, of the 54 orations of Isus, of the 391 speeches of Lysias, of the 180 treatises of Theophrastus, of the 8th book of the conic sections of Apollonius, of Pindar's hymns and dithyrambics, and of the 45 tragedies of Homer Jr. There was Ferdinand Fitzfacilis Feldspar. He informed us all about internal fires and tertiary formations, about iriforms, fluidiforms, and solidiforms, about quartz and marl, about schist and schorl, about gypsum and trap, about talc and calc, about blend and horn blend, about mica slate and pudding stone, about cyanite and lepidolite, about hematite and tremolite, about antimony and chalcedony, about manganese and whatever you please. There was myself. I spoke of myself, of myself, of myself, of myself, of nosology, of my pamphlet, and of myself. I turned up my nose, and I spoke of myself. Gutenberg edition. End of chapter.